Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Last week, we began a message dealing with the subject of afflictions in the life of a Christian. And the reason I feel the Lord has led me to it is from the letters, from what I know in the Spirit, people I've talked to. This has been a time of great difficulty. There's testings and battles and trials, almost in an unrelenting fashion. Sometimes, you know, we go through difficult times and then we have a respite. Well, these last really several years have been very difficult for God's people, and not just here in this country, but around the world. And so it's important as Christians that we have to understand what God's Word says about testings. There's a powerful passage found in Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but, thank God for that but, the Lord delivers them out of them all. And as we looked at the definition of that word, I'm just doing a brief review in case some of you haven't heard the message last week. To afflict, by definition, by Webster, it means to distress so severely as to cause persistent suffering or anguish, to trouble or to injure. That's the verb affliction. The noun is a state of being afflicted, the cause of persistent pain or distress, great suffering. And so, beloved, we as Christians should not be surprised. You know, James talked about that, about the fiery trial that we may be going through, because actually the Word of God says that the saints are appointed to afflictions. And this is New Testament. It's 1 Thessalonians 3:3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. And the Lord said, in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have, not maybe, not might, but you shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And sometimes, beloved, I know some of you are even at this point going through severe and prolonged testings, afflictions. And so it's very important as Christians, so that we won't be ignorant of Satan's devices, that we won't fall prey to sorrow and defeat and complaining and murmuring. We have to understand what the Word says. We have to understand what is going on in the time of afflictions. And they certainly come to the wicked, but they also come to the righteous, personally in our own lives or in the lives of others, our family, our loved ones, believers in general. And there are many aspects in understanding fully the nature and purposes of afflictions, and we're going to be looking at that. This is really a time of teaching. We have to understand there is spiritual warfare. We know that from 1 Peter 5:8. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion. And those are very powerful analogies there. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And so what can we sort of just summarize in terms of a general overview of what I've been sharing? Our attitudes in afflictions are extremely important. We have to understand that all sickness, death, suffering, mental or emotional, are authored by the devil. They're the result of sin. The scripture tells us the enemy comes to do nothing but steal, kill, and destroy. But the good wonderful news is through the atonement of the cross, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. That was the whole purpose of him, his coming. Isaiah 53:4-5 prophesied about Jesus. He was wounded. He's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so we have to have not only the right attitude to understand the scriptural purposes of the coming of Jesus, to embrace the whole counsel of the Word of God, and then it's important that we recognize the sovereignty of God. He is Lord. And there are times God allows, he doesn't author, but he allows afflictions to come into our lives. And I think perhaps one of the most striking examples is found in 1 Chronicles, the 13th chapter. Now, we know that David was a type of the Lord Jesus. Of course, he wasn't perfect. The Bible doesn't hide his sins and the things that he did against the Lord, but he was a man after God's own heart. He was seeking God, and he was in his life, he learned the characteristics of what it meant to be a godly king. And that's why he's given as a sort of an example, imperfect perhaps, but of the Lord Jesus and the king who is returning to earth to set up his kingdom. And that example that I would share with you is found in 1 Chronicles, the 13th chapter. And at this point, David was anointed king. And in verse 2 of that chapter, David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, note the choice of his words, if it pleases God, and it's not just me as king, as a, you know, royal tyrant declaring this, if it seems good to you and to the Lord, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also the priests, the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that we may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And of course, the congregation was in agreement. But the important thing, what could be a better, more pleasing to God attitude of heart and soul and mind than to desire to bring the very presence of God into the city of David, the city of Jerusalem? But if you remember from that episode, even though everyone's heart was right and they were celebrating, they put the ark on a new cart, and when the oxen stumbled, Uzzah died in the presence of the Lord. And so in chapter 15, verse 2, obviously there had been great searching of the scriptures to find out, even though their hearts were right, what was the proper attitude or the proper protocol that God had ordained. And in verse 2 of chapter 15, David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And of course, when he assembled the people, there was great rejoicing and success when it was carried on the shoulders of the Levites. And so here we learn that it's important that we can't justify ourselves because of ignorance of God's word. We have to apply ourselves. We have to listen to good teaching, good preaching, so we understand what God expects of us. And remember, beloved, that God is in control. All things work together for good. And as I've said before, if you're a regular listener, one of my heroes in the Bible is Job. Now, that might not be your first choice, but as I read that book, we know that there was none like him in all the earth. He was a perfect, a just, and an upright man who eschewed evil. But look what is the setting that takes place in that first chapter of Job. Verse 8, this is the Lord bringing it up to Satan. Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Of course, Satan's response, that's just because you've put a hedge around him and you've blessed him. And he challenges, he throws this challenge in the face of God, Satan does. Put forth thine hand now, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said, verse 12, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan left the presence of the Lord and did exactly what he had been authorized to do. And so we see from this very profound revelation of the courts of heaven that these afflictions were not authored by God, but they were allowed for his purposes. And yes, did Job learn lessons? Of course he did. But the real purpose, and Job did not understand this at the time. He was just suffering, and then he had his physical body was attacked for the second time that Satan comes in. And the whole purpose of the book, at least in terms of my understanding, is to show to Satan and all the hosts of hell that God had a man, and these days God has a people who will not be deterred, who will not turn from their worship of God. What did Job say? Yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. And so there is, at the end of his life, Job, all is restored. He's greatly and mightily blessed of God. But God's integrity was maintained, and it was proven before the angels, the courts of heaven, that there was a man who would love God purely and sincerely for whom he is, and not for his blessings. So there's a great deal we can learn from the book of Job. So, regardless of what you're going through at this point in time, remember, God is in control. And my time has gotten away from me. There's so much I want to share. I brought together a lot of scriptures to be able to demonstrate from the Word of God what the message is from heaven to us regarding the afflictions we go through. Praise God. I invite you to tune in tomorrow at this same time. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at this time. But should you miss a broadcast or want to re-listen, please go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you may listen there anytime at your convenience. As always, I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. God moves powerfully through prayer and through the ministry of correspondence. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.